Well, this is Dr. Jeff Barrows, host of the Voice of Advocacy podcast from CMDA. And today I'm joined by our Director of State Public Policy, Nicole Hayes, to interview two guests about their efforts to combat the legalization of assisted suicide in Illinois. And our two guests also happen to be our American Academy of Medical Ethics state directors for Illinois. The first is Dr. Kevin Garner, who is a physician who resides in Maryville, Illinois, where he is the medical director of Chestnut Health Systems, and a hospitalist at Anderson Hospital and medical director for Vitus Healthcare. And the second physician is Dr. Ben German. Dr. German practices internal medicine, both inpatient and outpatient, on the west side of Chicago with Lawndale Christian Health Center. He is a grateful husband to his best friend, Andrea, and a delighted parent to his children, Jack and Eleanor. So, welcome to you both to the Voice of Advocacy.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Well, this year we had Illinois take up the issue of assisted suicide when the legislature introduced Senate Bill 3499, which sought to legalize assisted suicide in Illinois. The bill, fortunately, has effectively failed, not having received a hearing before the official session ended, although there is always that slight chance that it could come up again during a late fall veto session. So assisted suicide proponents are pushing for the bill's passage, and a February 2023 phone survey conducted by the Impact Research of 700 likely 2024 Illinois voters indicated that 71% of Illinois voters would support assisted suicide, also known by the misnomer that we don't like, which is medical aid in dying. But before we get into the specifics of some of your advocacy efforts, I wanted to ask each of you, what motivated you to become engaged in defeating this bill? Dr. Garner, we'll start with you and then to Dr. German.
Well, I'm a natural introvert, so I basically for years have kept my head down and practiced medicine and done my 3 yards in a cloud of dust trying to move the ball forward with patients. But I was asked by a colleague, Dr. Josephine Glaser, to participate in CMDA's ethics program. And soon after that, the bill was introduced in the Illinois Senate, or was planned to be introduced. I can't stand by and let this be foisted upon weak and vulnerable individuals with nobody speaking up in their behalf.
I started taking a little interest in the issue during my time in med school, but was living in the state of Kentucky at that point. And I just had seen that, you know, things were progressing pretty quickly with this issue, with other states legalizing it, you know, back in 2015, 16, 17, mm-hmm. and was... Yeah, I think concern, but also knew in Kentucky that we weren't likely to pass, you know, something like this in the near future. But I guess providentially, I matched a residency in Chicago and just a different landscape on this issue. And so, yeah, I think have tried to be engaged, you know, to some degree in this issue since starting in residency. And yeah, grateful to be able to partner with lots of other fine advocates like Dr. Garner in Illinois.
One of the advocacy efforts, Dr. German, that you were involved in was meeting with the Chicago Tribune editorial board. Now, this meeting with you and others amazingly resulted in the Chicago Tribune editorial board publishing an editorial opposing the bill. And they did not want Illinois to be added to the list of 10 states, along with the District of Columbia, that have already legalized assisted suicide. So Dr. German, tell us how this meeting with the Chicago Tribune came about and how they were convinced to publish this opposition editorial. I mean, it's just very amazing that they were able to do that. Can you talk to us more about that?
Well, you're not the only one who was surprised. I was a bit surprised too, just not that we weren't getting positive feedback, but I don't know. I was kind of expecting, just given the way things have sort of progressed in other states, that we weren't going to get a positive return. But lo and behold, I think the, you know, reading the editorial itself, I think a significant feature for them was one of the speakers on the panel was a member of a disability rights advocacy group. And she really brought them to task on this issue from a disability perspective. And she quoted a study that actually came out of Harvard about perceptions that physicians bring to the table when they treat patients with disabilities. And the perception for over 80%, according to that study, was that the quality of life for these folks with disabilities was inferior to, you know, those who didn't have the disability. And that perception, I think, really can turn into a danger zone on this issue. As noted, you know, disability rights groups across the country are up in arms at, you know, any notion of legalizing assisted suicide. So I think that was a big issue for them. And then also just taking into account some of the demographics in the city of Chicago, you know, we do have a lot of under-resourced neighborhoods and patients that don't really have the resources to make their voice heard in quite the same way that, you know, some other locales in the country do. And so I think that also swayed the panelists.
I think you're probably right, Dr. German, because that perspective from the disability side is so powerful, and we need to make use of it, I think, more often as we are advocating against these assisted suicide bills. But Dr. Garner, you were interviewed by the Chicago Tribune about the bill as well, and participated in a press conference with others to oppose the bill. So how did this further, in your mind, the message for legislators to not consider the bill and to really further educate the public about assisted suicide?
I think the interview by the Chicago Tribune, again, came out of the blue for me. I had no idea how this writer got my name. Maybe Dr. German gave it to her. I don't know. But I have no idea. But I didn't ask. I just agreed to the interview, and we did it. Mm. And she was very fair and balanced. She counterbalanced my interview with a very dramatic story of someone who had a very pleasant, quote-unquote, assisted suicide. But I think to hear the physician and the disability side of the argument against the suicide is very important for the public, instead of just hearing the stories of people who liked it, quote-unquote, or for whom it seemed to work out well, quote-unquote. And I think for legislators, the same holds true. They haven't heard both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. The press conference highlighted people with cancer, people with disabilities, people with eating disorders, mental illnesses. It was broadcast throughout the Capitol for any Capitol building for any legislators who wish to watch it. And I hope many of them did. Apparently enough did that they didn't have the votes to pass the bill. So again, the support of the disability community was crucial. I agree wholeheartedly. We need to tap into that support more, because as in any intervention in medicine, it's the most vulnerable population that's impacted the most, whether it's statin drugs, diabetes drugs, end-stage renal disease, hypertension. Whenever you do an intervention, including assisted suicide, it's the most vulnerable population who is impacted the greatest.
Agreed. You know, and as we work with a lot of those groups, and so we hear this quite often in our advocacy work, and as if the opposition editorial wasn't amazing enough, something else amazing happened. The Illinois State Medical Society voted to be neutral on physician-assisted suicide during their annual meeting held last year. Now, fast forward to this year's annual meeting, by a vote of 52-30, ISMS returned to a position of opposed to physician-assisted suicide. So the Illinois State Medical Society went from neutral to opposed in a span of a year. And this is quite unfortunately something that doesn't happen in enough medical societies, because we're seeing more state medical societies going from opposed to engaged neutrality. So this return to oppose was done in large part thanks to a wonderful resolution submitted by our CMDA Illinois member, Dr. Stephen Smart. What more can you share with our listeners about what transpired at that meeting to bring about this important position reversal?
Yeah, all glory to God for this turn of events. And certainly Dr. Smart really put this issue back on the table, I think almost single-handedly. He came to me with the idea, really just, we had a meeting right after 2023 meeting where they voted to go neutral. saying we've got to do something. And, you know, my thought was there's no getting the cat back in the bag after all this, but he said, hey, we got to try. And so he submitted the, you know, resolution to return to a stance of opposition. And then not only that, but really recruited people already members, but were sympathetic to, you know, our cause to join the meeting. And, you know, as probably is true for a lot of state medical societies, the meetings are not well attended. They schedule them, you know, on a Sunday morning for the vote, you know, not everyone's ideal way they want to spend their weekend. But thankfully enough, you know, people who really saw this issue as important showed up to that meeting. And really, I think there was a robust testimony that came out, you know, from not only patient experiences with people's patients, but even one gentleman shared, you know, about how he'd cared for his own ailing father and just the beauty of those years that he got to spend. So anyway, it was, again, I think surprising to me, but, you know, we serve a God who does surprising things. And so, yeah, grateful to report that the ISMS now opposes PAS again.
Wonderful. And Dr. Garner?
I totally agree. Dr. Stephen Smart was awesome. I'm so happy he was led to put his time and energy, efforts, and intelligence into writing the resolution and to articulately present it better than I ever could have. He was awesome. And I think there were several members like me who had dropped their membership in the Illinois State Medical Society because I didn't feel like they really represented me in primary care. But when I heard about this going on, I was frankly angry enough to join again just so I could vote against it. And I did. And I think there are more people out there that if they try to do this again, we're going to rise up and swat it down one more time.
Excellent. Thank you both. Thank you both. And thank you to Dr. Stephen Smart.
Yeah, I think this is a great example of something that people often come to us with. They get frustrated with their state medical association or the AMA and because of the direction that they're taking, and they want to quit, which is it's understandable. But this is a great example of ways that you can stay in and make a difference if you're willing to stand up in the gap. So I just love that story, and well, no doubt every year there will be pressure to push it back to the neutral stance, so we'll have to be ready for that. But you know, as assisted suicide proponents continue and pushing this all across the country, it's a dangerous and discriminating legislation. We know there are lies out there and false truths about assisted suicide. So I want to ask, first of all, what more can we do to ensure palliative care and hospice care access to patients, better training for healthcare professionals on palliative care to counter assisted suicide? And Dr. Garner, since you are a hospice and palliative care medicine specialist, we'll start with you and then go to Dr. German for his suggestions as well.
Whenever you're talking about government and you come down to funding, palliative care is poorly reimbursed and it's poorly promoted. People who go into palliative care don't make nearly as much as other specialties. The education about palliative care is not where it should be for the public. People don't know, hey, you know, I don't have to choose between death and suffering. I can choose to be comfortable and stay at home and have care and pastoral care support, social support, music therapy, all the things that palliative care can offer, massage therapy, even respite care in facilities where the families can take a break. It's an awesome option for people. And too few people know about it and too few people choose that option. And it's an option that needs to be chosen early on in the course of terminal illness as opposed to last minute. So I think educating physicians and training is important. Again, that comes down to governments and encouraging and paying programs to do that, and then also educating the public. I think medical societies, specialty societies, the American Association of Hospice and Palliative Medicine is trying to do this, and then governments can all kick in and start some educational programs for the general public so that they know about this. But again, it all comes down to funding. If people are educated and there's not enough funding to pay the people who would like to provide the care, then it basically becomes volunteer care. Mm-hmm. And we're not much past that right now, honestly. Palliative care consults are poorly reimbursed, and hospice care is poorly reimbursed.
Mm. Dr. German.
I think helping to, you know, even just improve awareness for patients that, you know, these end-of-life conversations like should be had, like maybe earlier than later, in terms of just thinking about, like, you know, what people would want done at the end of life. And I think having those conversations with primary care doctors just far too often, I think, gets pushed off, you know, later than it should. And so it leads to more patient burden by maybe treatments that, you know, the patient wouldn't necessarily want if they really thought about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for making that. That's good for all of us to remember.
Well, as we near our time, I wanted to wrap up with one more question for you both. And that is, thankfully, we're seeing that this bill in Illinois has effectively failed, but there are other states facing the threat of assisted suicide legalization. And for listeners in those states, what advocacy steps or recommendations would you have to offer those listeners who do have assisted suicide bills that they're facing in their states?
One thing I'll say, I was really encouraged, you know, and have been encouraged by Dr. David Kim, who's one of the AAME in New York. And I think his recurring word to the rest of the group has been, you know, really take time to educate and invest in the next generation of students, of residents, of doctors coming up. Because so much of these efforts, I think, to, you know, legalize PAS or to change state medical society's opinions really is coming from, you know, younger physicians or physicians in training, mm-hmm. even. And so I think that was a good word for me to really look for opportunities to help just inform the minds and consciences, you know, and just help our younger brothers and sisters in medicine to think through these issues. Another side note, I will say stories always help. So if anyone listening to this has seen patients or even just people in the community adversely affected by PAS and, you know, states that it is legalized, it's always helpful to be aware of these to promote the cause in other states where it's not yet legalized. Mm. So
I agree. Thank you, Dr. Truman. Yes, we thank you, Dr. David Kim, for his advocacy and desire to equip this next generation of healthcare professionals.
Dr. Garner, anything to add?
Just that, you know, I was encouraged by my colleagues coming together and taking the time and the energy to fight this, Dr. German and Dr. Smart especially. And I think that's what other states need to do. You know, get in touch with your colleagues, get that collegiality back that we seem to have lost with the EHR and sending consults electronically and not picking up the phone and talking to each other. Instead of emailing, call your colleagues and reach out and give it the personal touch. And then in the second, stories are great. I'm currently working, recruiting patients for Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Coalition to make some videos against assisted suicide for Illinois in anticipation of them bringing the bill up again. So far, I've been able to get two patients who agreed to participate in those videos. So stories and collegiality, that's the bottom line, I think.
Well, we have a long battle, as I've already mentioned. Compassion and Choices is dedicated to trying to get assisted suicide legalized in every state, and we are dedicated to combating that effort. So, and we frame our advocacy work here at CMDA as protecting the vulnerable. And this case, this example here in Illinois that we've been talking about, is protecting the vulnerable at the very end of their life, and they may be coerced into assisted suicide by family, by friends, or their financial situation, a sense of guilt or a sense of shame. So it's so critical for us to stand up against these efforts that are being promoted by several different groups. And to me, I want to just say that you both have personified, I think, what's found in Ezekiel 22:30. For I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one. Well, of course, in that case, God is speaking to Ezekiel, but instead of finding no one, here we have two great examples of those who have decided to and follow the Lord's leading to stand up in the gap and to act in a way that protects the vulnerable elderly. So while in that instance, God didn't find anyone, we're thankful that he found both of you willing to stand up in the gap. So I want to thank you both for joining us today and for following the Lord's leading and taking time to be with us on this podcast.
It's our pleasure. And it's, again, I want to say it's encouraging to see young doctors like Dr. German stepping up and leading the way.
Thanks so much for having us. Really grateful for Dr. Garner and for Nicole. I can't think of a better organizer for our efforts. So,
blessing to serve.
Yeah, we are all very thankful for Nicole around here. So, and thanks, Nicole, for taking time today to join us. So until next time, our encouragement to you as listeners is to continue to stand strong for the vulnerable in your sphere of influence as the Lord leads.
Have you heard the news? CMDA Advocacy is pleased to introduce the Advocacy Report, a new quarterly newsletter written by members of the advocacy team. In the Advocacy Report, you will find updates on our state and federal level efforts, resources for you, and more. The second edition was recently released and can be found at cmda.org/advocacy. To subscribe, email advocacy@cmda.org and stay in the know. CMDA Advocacy provides grassroots support on issues at the state level, including the issue of protecting the unborn. If you live in a state in which a pro-abortion amendment is on the ballot, please be on the lookout for upcoming emails containing specific action steps you can take to help us oppose those amendments. And thank you for engaging in advocacy. Thanks for listening to The Voice of Advocacy. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email advocacy@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.